Hello and welcome to the next of our Studio 525 chats. Thank you so much for all your comments that you're giving us. We're really enjoying reading them and we're glad you're enjoying our programmes. Now today, Operations Director time, it's Andy Highgate, the man who absolutely knows everything about, well, everything really, I suppose. And he joins me right now.
About everything.
Not everything. Everything on park, certainly.
Yes, hopefully. I know a bit about roller coasters and theme parks.
I'll say, I've been to the top of the big one with you. A frightening experience in every respect. Tell us about yourself, Andy.
So I'm Andy Highgate, I'm the Operations Director here at Pleasure Beach Resort. I've worked here for over 10 years and I'm part of a very large team of people that hopefully help make people's visit really brilliant when they come.
So you're like sort of the modern day JR for those of us who remember the 90s?
Yes, I guess so. In fact, yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of respect for those people.
Mm. So what does the job entail? What's the day-to-day job of Andy Highgate?
The day-to-day, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's a cliche that's true, is that every day is different. And you hear that a lot, I think, in our industry. But when you have 35 large rides, you have the general public and our guests and big teams of people from different specialist areas, engineering, operations, entertainment, all of those things all coming together in a big melting pot to actually deliver the visit. We're part, one of the cogs in making that happen. But it is true that no 2 days are the same. Essentially, what we do is make sure that the rides all run and happen in the way that they should. But then there's a small team of us who kind of look after the day-to-day things that you wouldn't necessarily think about. You know, silly things like, does the park actually open on time? And the toilets in the car park open? Is there a member of staff ready to greet you when you drive your car into the car park? All of those little things, we do all of that as well.
So it's a checklist, really, is it, before opening up?
Essentially, yeah. And now the modern way we do it is we do it on our phones with a literal checklist. So, yeah.
How did you get into the job then?
So I've always loved roller coasters. Since before I can remember, one of my earliest memories is being a little kid and staring up at the scenic railway in Dreamland in Margate, and I must have been like 2 or 3 years old because I couldn't go on the ride, and my brother was taken on the ride by my mum, and I vividly remember that, and I guess the fascination kind of started there. So I've worked in attractions for over 25 years. And I was the general manager of a large aquarium for a number of years. And the company that owned that bought a small theme park in Wales. And it was kind of, because everyone knew I liked roller coasters, it was kind of a natural thing that I would go down there and help run that park, which is what I did for a few years. And that was my first kind of real experience of working with large rides and roller coasters. And really, that's kind of what opened the door to my role here. I didn't start as the ops director. I was the assistant, and I worked here for a few years, and I sort of learnt the ropes. And then I got promoted into this position.
It must have been quite a thrill to get to work here at Pleasure Beach.
I mean, absolutely. I remember when I was approached about it, actually, and they wouldn't tell me what park it was. But I guess they didn't realise that I was a coaster nerd, because they kind of said, oh, it's in the northwest of England and it's
a
large park.
It down a bit,
and I was like,
it?
Well, you're talking about Pleasure Beach. And they were like, I could see that they were a bit shocked that I immediately said that. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that it's a privilege to work in a place that's got, you know, that's been sort of like an institution in a good way, you know, for over 120, 25 plus years.
Well, you certainly got the showmanship about you, haven't you? The personality, the ability to get out there and say, well, this is Blackpool, and, you know, welcome to Blackpool with that big smile on your face each day.
I hope so. I actually, part of it is I genuinely like being in the park. You cannot operate or run a park or have a handle on operations if you're not out in the park all the time. And being out in the park means that you meet guests and you chat to guests, and particularly guests that visit a lot get to know you and will come and talk to you. And I actually love that aspect of it. I'm a bit of a people person anyway, so that side of it is quite fun.
So people are coming to the Pleasure Beach not just to go on the rides, but to point out where Andy Highgate is as well. Is that what
you're
saying?
Well, no, I'm not saying. What I'm saying is it's good to be able to chat to people. You see the familiar faces come in, and they will come up and talk to you. But actually, the people that, you know, even the people that are here today, lots of them we won't know, but I quite enjoy interactions with them.
Good stuff. Is it a pressurised job?
I think any job is particularly... Well, there's a lot of things to think about, but then saying that, that's part of what makes it fun. I think I would hate to be in an office job where, you know, the most exciting thing that's going to happen is the phone might ring and whatever. I much prefer to be doing something where there's always something new happening.
I can't imagine you in an office job at all, because you're like sort of Mr. Adventure, aren't you? You want to get out there and get involved.
I do like to be in. As I say, you need to be in the part, and then we kind of push the envelope a bit more by, you know, I'm actively involved in things like Walk the Big One, where we get to walk up stuff and so on.
I walked the big one with you.
Yeah.
And then I came to interview you in the autumn when everybody was dressed up as ghouls.
Do you know, that's something I was thinking about this, actually.
And you were there?
It was really embarrassing in some ways, that, because I did a whole interview with you. I was dressed as a vampire outside the ghost train. And I was in character for some bizarre reason. I don't know why someone didn't just stop. I don't know why you didn't just stop me.
It was more fun just interviewing you as a vampire.
But I did the whole thing in the voice of a vampire.
You did.
And then it was only afterwards that I realised, hang on, there wasn't actually a camera there. This was just
the radio.
So if you were listening as a radio listener, you would have no idea that.
But I did get a jolly good picture of you for the website.
Okay. But again, I mean, that was, you know, in what job normally would you get to, I mean, dress up as a vampire and walk around the park and have fun? So those kind of things make it interesting.
It's being paid to have fun, isn't it? And that's what we've always said here, isn't it?
It is. I mean, but I think if you're... you're selling fun and entertainment as a product that you want people to come and spend their hard money on enjoying themselves, then people are much more likely to enjoy themselves if the team that they see when they go to these places is having fun and enjoying themselves.
So let's have a look at that team then. We're talking about recruitment, training and retaining those staff. You're looking for a certain person, aren't you, to come and work at Pleasure Beach?
I don't know. So, some of it can be learned. Obviously, operating rides and being skilled at operating rides is a learnt skill, and people that have experience of doing that, or people that gain experience of doing that over a period of time, that's a big thing. But essentially, you want people that like people, because if you can talk to anyone, and it's really easy in an amusement park or a theme park to, you know, at the very least, you can ask a guest, so how's your day going? What's been the best ride? What have you enjoyed the most? And so it's really easy to have a conversation with people in the park. And it's not, you know, when people are visiting an amusement park, they want to have a good time. They want to enjoy. It isn't a normal day for them. It's not like going down the shops and doing your weekly shop or whatever. It is that you want to come and forget about your everyday life and have exciting experiences. And if the staff can contribute to that, then that's brilliant.
We always say it's all about the show in Blackpool, isn't it? So once they set foot on park from behind those gates, then you become somebody else, a vampire maybe, but on occasion.
But the point with that is that, you know, if I'm prepared to dress up as a vampire and walk around the park and chat to people and so on, then hopefully my team, if I'm expecting them to do the same thing and they've seen that I've done it, then they'll get involved as well.
The expectation level's quite high then. You sign up and come work at Pleasure Beach,
I don't
you never know
maybe...
what you might be dressed up in.
I mean, yes, that's true to a point. But it's good, you know, I've seen team members start here a little bit shy and retiring, and a year later they can be the people that are walking people up the big one and telling them all the facts and everything as they go up, and I really like that. That's
that
great.
Must be really gratifying to actually see how they've developed over that year.
No, brilliant. I mean, a lot of our ride managers all started as seasonal ride operators, and I take that as a big compliment, and I'm really proud of them as well for progressing and achieving that.
How do you balance operating classic attractions with the modern ones?
I mean, essentially a ride is a ride, and you have an operating procedure for it, and you train that out. And most ride operators can operate sort of two, or certainly the best ride operators can operate two or three rides. And they spend much more, they usually know the ride much, much better than I do, because they spend so much time on it. But I don't necessarily think, is it a challenge? No. If you plan for something and you practice it, then you can get, you can operate the ghost train from the 1930s in a similar way, although I guess the fundamentals of what buttons you press and whatever are different, but ultimately it is the same thing as operating something like Icon.
So 2025 is shaping up to be a fantastic season, and let's hope this weather holds as well. It's looking rather good, isn't it? Can you give us a sneak peek of what we can expect this year?
Well, everyone that's a fan of the park knows that we've recently reopened Launchpad, and that's been fantastic. I mean, I was very lucky as one of the first people that went on the ride when it was when we were doing the commissioning and so on, and it's brilliant. It's great to see that ride back in action, looking brand new and feeling so exciting. And I love the fact that when you walk into the park, you've got the sound of the ride and the atmosphere and all the, all the bits that Adam and his team have added to the experience, like the smoke and the countdown and all of that drama that goes along with it. So it's been really exciting to see that back. And then as we go into the summer, there's certain things I love about Pleasure Beach. I love it when we're open late. I love it when all the lights start coming on. I'm a sucker for when we have fireworks. I love the fireworks at the end of the night. I also like taking photos. So though I'm working, I will take photos of fireworks over. I don't know how many pictures of fireworks I've got over the big one, but. But I think those kind of things for guests are really, really appealing. I mean, if you try and imagine a Disney park, one of the things you think about with a Disney park is a castle with fireworks around it. And if you go there on a holiday, that's one of the things you're expecting to see. And, if you come to Pleasure Beach in August and you come on one of the nights when we're open till 10 o'clock and you maybe ride a few rides in the dark and then you finish off your day with that, with the big one as the backdrop and those fantastic fireworks, I think that's a brilliant thing. That's really, really exciting. So I'm really, really looking forward to that part. And then I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the new ride for next year arriving.
Well, let's just talk about that, shall we? Because if anyone can tell us what's going on and everything you can about it, it's you. You're the man to ask.
No, I mean the stuff that's out there about the ride. I think people.
We're looking for stuff we have.
I mean, one of the good.
Tell us a secret.
The ride is going to look brilliant. And then the other thing I would say, is I've just been to America.
I know. You didn't like to talk about it, though, did you?
But I've been on a similar ride. It's actually a different manufacturer, but I went on a similar ride at a park called Kennywood. But I have to say, when that ride was at its full swing, I don't get scared by rides, but I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. So I'm so looking forward to having that experience at Pleasure Beach next year. We're also planned now how it's going to operate. Mm-hmm. So, from an operations director perspective, I know how many staff I need to operate it, where they need to stand, and what buttons they're going to be pressing, what the process is going to be. We've already planned, in conjunction with the manufacturer, already planned out how that side of it will work. And those are kind of the nuts and bolts bit, which makes the ride happen on a day-to-day basis when guests turn up.
So special training for that then? All technology training and stuff like that. It's going to be quite high tech, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you get with any new ride, you'll go through a commissioning process, and then you'll go into a training phase where you are basically doing cycles, logging hours. You tend to have a buddy system in place with different ride operators, and I'm trying to make it sound really easy. It's actually quite time consuming. But at the end of it, you're at the point where you're ready to put real people on the ride.
There's been some behind-the-scenes events this year here at Pleasure Beach, and we always love those, with more to come. Tell us more.
Well, it was a... we just thought, okay, what is it that people want to see? And you mentioned about lifting the curtain and showing people. And we wanted people to come into the park for 2 hours. And we actually did these when the park was closed, and show them a variety of different things and give them a variety of different experiences in that period of time, where they would see a bit of behind the scenes, and they would also get to, I know that particularly enthusiasts, but anyone that gets to go to the park and gets to go to places that they wouldn't normally get to go to. So as part of the tour, we walked people up the far side on Revolution, which is really exciting because you go up these stairs and you have to duck your head, but the reward is when you get to the top, you get this amazing vista of the park, and you can take photos and so on. That was brilliant. One of the best reactions we had was taking people into the Icon maintenance bay and under the trains, and they could see how, you know, what the engineers would see and everything that was involved in that. And we also took people into Stageworks and showed them the wardrobe, the amazing wardrobe that we've got here. And so it was quite varied in quite a short space of time, and it kept it moving. But at the end, the people that came on the tours were giving us great feedback because they really liked it. So we are planning to do more of them, yeah.
There must be loads of cubbyholes and places that nobody's ever been on.
Yeah, I mean, the fan club events that we do are the same. We do a couple of those each year, and those ones are always different. And the challenge now is that we're always trying to top the one before. So we've recently done one where we walked people around the back of the Nickelodeon Streak and up into what was the old Space Invader building, and we tied it in with the rides on Launchpad because that had recently opened. So it had a whole space theme to it. And then we are planning to do another one after the summer. And we've got to try and top the last one that we did. So coming up with these ideas is part of the fun, really.
Pleasure Beach has always been in the forefront of being on the latest trend, or being ahead of the trend, really, hasn't
it? Yeah.
Got to think about what people want before they want it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the wider industry gives you sort of pointers of that. But then saying that, Pleasure Beach has been one of those parks where, you know, you look at what we've done over the across the park over the last 100+ years, and we've been a real, you know, there is no getting away from the fact the park has been a real innovator. You know, you can list off, you know, first log flume in Europe, first looping coaster, world's tallest and fastest roller coaster.
1994.
Yeah, that's the one.
I was there.
You know, rides like Valhalla, which are truly groundbreaking dark rides and so on. And when you mix all of that together, actually, it's an amazing, the place has an amazing legacy as somewhere in the industry for, you know, for rides.
So what's the future of theme parks then, do you reckon, Andy?
Well, ultimately, I think the future is the same as what it's been, in that people come to amusement parks and theme parks to forget about their day, their daily life, and escape and have an adventure and spend family time making, or with their friends or family or whatever, making fantastic memories. And I don't think that aspect will change. The rides might get bigger, more exciting, more thrilling and so on, but ultimately there's always going to be that pull to have a fun day out with the people that you care about, enjoying nice food, buying cool souvenirs and having experiences like rides, which are thrilling and memorable.
And constantly evolving.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exciting thing about amusement parks, is that, and they should never stay the same. They should always be, you know, one of the reasons I was fascinated when I was a kid, and, you know, nearly 50 years later, I'm still fascinated because you can always go and find something new. And that's what's so exciting, I think, about our industry.
And it's a big topic at the moment on everyone's agenda. What role does sustainability play in Pleasure Beach operations?
I mean, it's really important, obviously, as you've highlighted, and it's really important to a lot of our staff who always ask about it. And I think the key thing is, because there are some parks which I look up to that are well ahead in what they're doing. Places like Port Aventura, places like Leesburg, who really are doing the things which we are looking at. trying to implement here. But to give you a sort of small example of something really positive that we've done in ops is that we have a massive reservoir of water underneath the Valhalla ride. And you don't see it when you're, because it's inside the ride building. And in the winter, historically, when we go into our closed period, we just drain that down and that water goes off down the drain. And rather than wasting that, I bought 50,000 litre second-hand from an old syrup factory, but these massive plastic containers, basically. And we put the water from this reservoir into them. And then we used those to clean the park when we were getting ready for opening in February. And that's only a small thing, but I think with sustainability, the way to approach it is to think outside the box, and then do lots of little small things and build up those over the time. So that's kind of the approach that we've been taking. And when you start listing out, because we've been doing this for a few years now, when you start listing out what you've actually achieved across all the different departments and so on, you suddenly find that actually you're contributing quite a lot. And then we try and share that information with the team so that they all know. And we're working towards sharing that with our guests too, so they know what we're doing too.
So let's finish on an exciting question then. What are you most excited about this year?
This year? Mm-hmm. Well, I can have two.
Go on then.
I'm excited about Wallace and Gromit for this summer.
It's been reimagined.
And putting some new... Everyone loved watching the new film that went out at Christmas. Yes. And I particularly enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And there's certain characters that I want to see more of in the ride. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And then from a non-Pleasure Beach perspective, there's a big park that's just opened in Florida, and it's really unusual for a park. You know, it doesn't happen that often that a brand new park opens. I'm really excited to go to Epic Universe and see what that's like. Right. So those two things.
International, travel, and Manic Garden Gnomes. In one year.
Well, that's a nice mix.
What a nice mix. Andy, it's an absolute joy. Thank you so much for joining us. Andy Highgate, their Operations Director here at Pleasure Beach Resort. From all of us at Studio 525, till next time, bye-bye.